A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. Jeff Sherman, thank you for being here. We're all about community. We grow community through commerce and every one of our wonderful entities throughout the great state of Wisconsin. We are proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. So when you think about building community, it's what business wants to do, right? But how does it all get done? And when we really look on a local level, how do our communities recruit and retain businesses? How does development happen? How are corridors created and connections made? I was in Kenosha last weekend, so obviously you got to drive. I drive from downtown Milwaukee to Kenosha, and it makes me think about that corridor between Milwaukee and Chicago. There's development everywhere. That Milwaukee-Chicago corridor, considered a big mega region, right? You take all the population, all the development there. I think it's like the fourth or fifth largest mega city in the world. And there are several organizations there that are working to grow investments, from Microsoft to Amazon and other companies that have made that corridor home. So that corridor from Milwaukee to Chicago gets a lot of talk. But there's another big region that's been emerging, maybe one that doesn't get as much attention, and that's Milwaukee to Madison. Let's call it Madwaukee, if you will. A lot of people are starting to term it Madwaukee. It's that Madwaukee corridor, I-94, between beautiful downtown Milwaukee and Madison. And it's about to continue to shift with even more economic development, with $1 billion plus in manufacturing investments alone just in the Jefferson County region. If you look at the way that WEDC, that's Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, the way they book their investments in the state, recently, last year, we're at $2.4 billion. $1.3 of that alone has been made in Jefferson County. So I wanted to spotlight this and dive into what development opportunities look like, who's making it happen, what companies are seeking to make communities like what, Johnson Creek, Watertown, Whitewater, as well as the city of Jefferson and Jefferson County itself, what these companies are seeing so appealing in Jefferson County. Why is all this investment landing in this state's version of, you know, maybe it's a little flyover country, right? There's a lot of agriculture, but there's a ton of housing and there's a ton of development. What's next in Jefferson County? Jefferson County Administrator Michael Luckey will join us, and the president of Thrive Economic Development, Deb Reinbold, will join us in studio to discuss their efforts, as well as some innovative approaches to attract housing to Jefferson County. But as we do each and every beginning of the upswing, we're going to go two up.
Up one, two.
Now it's time for the
two, count them,
two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about now. Really excited about this first one. We'll call it Green Bay to MKE. There's a brewery with a really familiar name, of course, especially for Wisconsin sports fans, that's relaunching its brand and opening its first brick-and-mortar location right here in Milwaukee at the former City Lights Brewing Company space in Milwaukee's Menominee River Valley. Lombardi Brewing Company, this according to the Business Journal and other sources, has filed an occupancy permit to take over the tap room on Mount Vernon Avenue, the site of the former City Lights Brewing Company that closed in January. Now, Lombardi Brewing Company isn't, they don't have a brick and mortar location. It's more of a distributor to restaurants and bars in Stevens Point and Wausau. Been around since about 2021, but lately, in the last couple months, they've been teasing on Facebook that they're looking to expand to Milwaukee. So I'm thinking we're going to see their beers like the Lombardi Golden Lager and the long arm Amber come to Milwaukee, take over the beautiful space that is the City Lights Brewing Company, and really focus on growing it, not only as an event space, but as a restaurant, expanding the patio, and really taking advantage of the wonderful infrastructure that that space has to offer. So watch for the Lombardi Brewing Company to find a new home at the City Lights Brewing Company. John Lombardi leads the operation and is actually the grandson of Vince Lombardi. So they got the built-in Packer audience there for sure. Second up, something to keep an eye on for this summer. I'm seeing a lot of different reports about travel and what decreases in travel to the United States could look like. Now, you're already seeing reports that the number of international visitors to the United States have taken a bit of a downturn recently. New research from Tourism Economics predicts an 8.5% decline in international tourism to the United States this year. As a result, this report's saying we could see a $8.5 billion downtick in international visitor spending alone. Now, it's interesting. You compare this to what we were seeing at the beginning of the year. Many entities predicted a 9% increase in travel and a 16% boost in their spending. So you flip those around, it could be a little shocking in terms of what we're going to see in the summer in terms of visitors to the United States. Personally, I'm not seeing it on a local or regional level, but we'll see what the impacts could be to summer travel in the Midwest. Something definitely, when we look at micro and macro trends, does this macro trend of travel to the United States drill down on the local level? We'll see. We're about at the great Milwaukee summer. Will travelers come into the States impact the economics of our local events? Something to keep an eye on for sure. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Jefferson County is booming with over $1 billion in new investments from Kikkoman, from Nestle Purina, and others, really positioning itself as a true economic driver in the state of Wisconsin. Jefferson County Administrator Michael Lucky and the president of Thrive Economic Development, Deb Reinbold, both join us in studio. Deb, Michael, I appreciate your time. Thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us here on The Upswing today.
Thanks for the invitation.
Of course. So just level set for our fans in terms of where Jefferson County is. I never want to assume that people know. And also define the region and position its opportunities for us, Michael.
So Jefferson County is 511 square miles. If you're driving from Milwaukee towards Madison, you'll hit Milwaukee County, obviously Waukesha County, and then Jefferson County before you hit Dane County where Madison is. You might be familiar if you've driven that corridor before with the outlet malls in Johnson Creek. Johnson Creek is pretty centrally located in Jefferson County. It's where Highway 26 meets it, and Highway 26 runs north to south through the county and will hit you in Janesville and up towards Dodge County as well. There are 9 cities and villages in Jefferson County: Waterloo, Watertown, Lake Mills, Johnson Creek, Fort Atkinson, Cambridge, Palmyra, Whitewater. Did I say Fort Atkinson? I don't want to miss any of them. We love them all. But a lot of charming downtowns, a lot of open space, a lot of water trails. We're really, really proud of Jefferson County. It's a hidden gem, we believe, but it's starting to get noticed a lot more and recognized a lot more. A lot because of the economic development work that Deb and her organization are doing. I'll let her talk a little bit about that. But they've positioned us in economic development, really in 4 sectors of agribusiness, food and beverage manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, and biohealth. And we've seen a lot of news there. So, Deb, do you want to give a little bit on Thrive?
Yeah, absolutely. So Thrive Economic Development, we're a private sector, a 501c3.
Okay.
Made up by private sector investors. We also have a public sector organization, Jefferson County Economic Development Consortium. But as Michael was talking about some of these key industries, it's also important to note that we've had businesses here, global businesses, for years that I don't think people recognize are in Jefferson County. And I'm thinking specifically of Trek.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So what were some of the major investments from 2024 that you really focused on that have kind of laid the foundation for those pillars?
Sure. So, well, those pillars came about prior to that. I mean, we've always had a heritage of working a lot with food and beverage and agribusiness. Biohealth is something that we're looking to get into. But the businesses that we were working with in 2024 started with Nestle Purina. They had a $195 million investment. Palermo's Pizza came and filled one of our vacant cold storage facilities.
My favorite frozen pizza.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. And I always laugh. I'm like, the biggest challenge that we have in attracting Palermo is they are so generous to our community that they donate so much so many pizzas to our food pantry that I can't go to the local Walmart and pick any up. I've got to go out of the city in order to get them.
So bring them home. That's great. I
absolutely
love it.
So we've got Palermo's, then Astolan Bio. Clon Bio is an Irish-based company. They've got a $500 million investment that they're putting into the former Valero facility. So that's a biorefinery. And then the latest but the one that I think from 2024, then is, of course, Kikkoman and that development.
Yeah. And so just from a process standpoint, you don't have to lay out all the steps, but talk a little bit about the recruitment process. When you're going after a company, what does that look like? What's the collaboration? And just what's the time frame?
Sure. So Kikkoman actually was a pretty tight time frame. They've been looking for quite a while for a place to call home. And, you know, they've already got a facility down in Walworth. But basically, they work with a site selector. That site selector reached out. They actually were looking throughout the Midwest. So in this last round, we were one of 60 communities that they were looking at. And they went through WEDC. So the site selector reached out to the statewide organization that then gets deployed out to the regional economic development organization. And then that comes to us. And we respond to an RFP. So normally a company is going to be looking for specific things. So they're looking for a specific amount of land. This, they were looking for 100 acres. There's other things, utility capacity. So they needed at least 20 megawatts of electric utility, water, wastewater. So both the capacity and then also the quality was very, very important to them. This site also happened to be just off of the bypass and then also adjacent to rail. So all of those things were really important.
And Deb, in terms of the timeline for once Kikkoman was selected, the City of Jefferson set up, for those of you that know about TIF, how long did that take them to do?
Yeah, so the City of Jefferson worked really quickly. It was a 6-week process.
So for those that are familiar with TIF, that's a very quick timeline. I think also a lot of the partnerships that Jefferson County has with its municipalities, with its businesses, its lenders, really helped speed a lot of that timeline along. Our county board's been very supportive in helping us be proactive about that.
We're talking with Jefferson County Administrator Michael Luckey and the president of Thrive Economic Development, Deb Reinbold. So in terms of the RFPs and the recruitment, is it often, when you're positioning Jefferson County, what stands out? Is it the location? Is it the access to land? Is it everything?
Absolutely. So they're looking, as I had mentioned before with Kikkoman, they had 60 different sites that they were looking at. They actually were looking at another site in Ohio. It kind of came down to the two sites. And so they came in for a site visit, and we brought out a lot of the community. So I had people from the technical college, from the school district. I had a local temporary agency to talk about the availability of workforce. You know, we brought in a local residential housing developer to talk about housing availability, that type of thing. And everyone came into the room. And so if they had any questions, we're trying to be as transparent as possible and then also show how well we all work together.
Yeah, collaboration is key.
And absolutely. Jefferson County itself is a beautiful place. Deb and I both call it home. We both moved there because of the high quality of life. Again, a lot of open space, a lot of charming communities. But you're also close to our state's largest cities. And that's something that's really been highlighted, and we'll probably talk about a bit more, that we are on a corridor between Madison, Milwaukee, and we've started calling it the Madwaukee Corridor because we see a lot of opportunity for growth. The location is perfect, and the quality of life there is very high.
When we come back from the break, I want to focus on just that, Michael. How do you recruit intentionally? Growth is going to happen organically no matter what, but what does that look like from an impact on the local economy standpoint? You talk about housing, you talk about access to the job force. It's a lot of pieces to put into this puzzle, and you're doing the hard work each and every day. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, Economic Development 101 in Jefferson County, the Milwaukee corridor between Milwaukee and Madison. A lot of development here, a lot of interest on many, many different levels. Jefferson County Administrator Michael Luckey and the president of Thrive Economic Development, Deb Reinbold, join us in studio. So I wanted to talk about the impact on the local economy from your efforts. Discuss and tell us about job creation and economic growth and how they work kind of hand in hand when companies are looking to come to a region.
Well, I'll start and talk a little bit about it from the county side. So when we see increased growth, we see an increase in tax collection through property taxes, sales taxes. And what that does is allows us to reinvest that back into those high quality services to continue to enhance the quality of life in Jefferson County. But there are a lot of private sector benefits, and I think those are probably the ones that are even more important and even more visible. So, for instance, as to Land Bio, we talked about it's a refinery with corn as a input. And so they buy from local farmers, and those local farmers work with local banks, and they are seeing a ton of investment and growth and just so many ancillary benefits that come from that. Growth builds upon growth. Success breeds success. And so this interest is continuing to be generated. And Deb and her organization are very popular. One of her staff members was recently at an event in Madison. She said she felt like the belle of the ball. Everyone is coming up and saying, you know, what's going on in Jefferson County and how can we be a part of it? I did want to also talk a little bit about our population growth. So Jefferson County right now is the fifth fastest growing county in Wisconsin. That was 2023 data. With this kind of stuff coming in, more jobs, more housing as we can attract it, that is going to grow, and it's going to really benefit the entire region as well. These people that move to Jefferson County, they'll go to Madison for a day, they'll go to Milwaukee for a day, and they'll go and enjoy everything else that's going on. Even if they live in Jefferson, they might go down to Fort Atkinson, regional areas like that, and really improve a lot of the local retail and businesses like that.
Deb, is there ever, I ask this, is there ever a rub between like the modern development and ag-based development? And it seems like you found that sweet spot in your recruitment. But what does that look like from your lens?
Yeah, I think that I think to your point, we have kind of found that sweet spot because there's a benefit to those farmers. I can also tell you that the farmers who are looking to sell their land, it's going for a lot more money now than it had a number of years ago. So not that that's exactly what we want to look for. 80% of our county is farmland right now. And so that's why part of the Jefferson County strategic plan is talking about intentional economic growth. So primarily focused around our cities, villages, and then along our transportation corridors, including Highway 26 and I-94.
And part of being intentional is housing, retail, and transportation, and putting those all together. How do you address the housing need? I mean, it's so critical in all of our communities and all of our regions. But as you're recruiting businesses, the workers need places to live.
Absolutely.
And are there incentives there? Is there a master plan there? And how do you look at that day to day?
Yeah. So as far as attracting housing development, I can tell you that it's probably about 3 years ago that I started talking to developers in Dane County and then also in the Milwaukee region. And they were saying, you know, your time eventually will come, but right now we're really focused here. And so we went through a year-long process of trying to figure out how to incent development to happen within Jefferson County, recognizing that our rents are a little bit lower in Jefferson County. So for a developer, it's going to cost about the same to develop in Milwaukee or in Waukesha or in Dane County. But yet, you know, you need to have the rents high enough in order to support that. So we created what we call the Live Local Development Fund, where we can lend out up to $25,000 per unit. Right now, we're focused on multifamily.
Okay.
So say, for instance, it's 100 units. We can lend out up to $2.5 million at a below market rate. So we've got $9.5 million that was raised, $2 million through Jefferson County, another $2 million through the Greater Watertown Community Health Foundation, Exonia Bank at $1.5 million, Fort Atkinson Community Foundation at $1 million, and Fort Healthcare at another $3 million. So raised $9.5 million to date.
Truly does take a village to grow a region, that is for sure.
Talking about collaboration, that's exactly what we're doing.
Michael, when you look at local government's role, what are some of the partnerships that you've helped create between government, the educational institutions, and the businesses that ultimately work to foster the workforce that we all need to fill the jobs?
Well, let me take you to my very first day working for Jefferson County.
All right, let's go. Let's go then.
I was told by the former county administrator, hey, you're coming along to this meeting, and it's with Kikkoman. They have five people coming from Tokyo, and we're going to pitch Jefferson as a site for them. And I sat in that room and I heard a presentation from our technical college, from our school district, from local developers, from our workforce development board, all about ways that we can meet their needs as a community, that we can help support them with the institutional knowledge that we have and some of the programs we currently have and maybe any programs in the future that need to be built. You hit on it before. It is about partnerships. It's about collaboration and open communication. We have a lot of strengths, a lot of local governments, too, that have a lot of stakeholders, council members, village and city administrators, all of whom we actively communicate with and work with them to say, okay, what are our areas, what are our region's priorities? And they've been very, very receptive.
Can I also add to that? Yeah. So just as a highlight for all of you, we have four universities, or we've got two technical colleges. Madison Area Technical College has a campus in Watertown and also in Fort Atkinson. We also have Maranatha Baptist University up in Watertown and then UW-Whitewater down in Whitewater.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of universities. I can tell you I just had a meeting last week with Madison Area Technical College, and they are working to try and support our supply chain workforce. So not only is it these primary companies that we're trying to work with, it's also that supply chain to make sure that we can continue this growth and that it's sustainable.
And obviously, you're right in the middle of Milwaukee and Madison with huge universities at both of those locations, too, and an easy commute to a central location. So that's key as well.
Absolutely. It's 45 minutes to get to Madison or 50 minutes to get to Milwaukee.
When we come back, I want to discuss the strategies to promote the region and how maybe we can compare and contrast with other regions and then look forward to future plans for the rest of 2025 and beyond. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're talking economic development and more. Community Building 101, Jefferson County Administrator Michael Luckey, and the President of Thrive Economic Development, Deb Reinbold, both join us in studio. So as you look at competition for development, every region kind of wants what it wants, right? And ultimately, there has to be collaboration to win. But how do you view competition across the state of Wisconsin, Michael?
Well, what we have going for us in Jefferson County when we try and compete and highlight our strengths is we have land that can be probably acquired for cheaper than maybe some areas of our neighbors. We have a very, very skilled workforce. We have educational institutions. And we do have that community spirit, you know, between all of our communities that will help attract some of this development. To spin it a little bit, though, because you're talking, you know, competition, but there is that collaboration piece regionally, right? And so we recognize that what might be happening in Dane County and Waukesha County and Milwaukee County does have some type of effect on Jefferson County itself. We've got an Amazon distribution facility going up in Cottage Grove that'll bring 1,700 jobs to that area. We're going to probably see some housing and some retail spillover effects because of that. The growth that's happening from the corridor from the Illinois border up to Milwaukee, that also is going to lead to some spillover effects. And so things like, you know, We Energies still supplies power to us, even if it supplies it to the city of Milwaukee and those areas. And so if they're able to grow that capacity there, that might have some effects for some of the energy capacity and availability that we can then draw on towards Jefferson County, too. There are a lot of benefits to seeing this region as a whole grow. And what that Madwaukee corridor that we talked about earlier really helps display and grow is Milwaukee has historically had a very, very strong manufacturing background, a lot of strength and knowledge that comes in that area. Madison has the university, a lot of IP, technology, things like that. But as those sectors and those lines are becoming more and more blurred, having a corridor that connects both of those knowledge bases is very important. And so we see ourselves really as growing as part of this region. Maybe we have to compete with other states, but if we're talking about growth in southeastern Wisconsin, Jefferson County is right at the heart of it.
Yeah, I think there has to be a bit of a rise and tide lifts all boats mentality. I started a smaller business that grew in downtown Milwaukee. I always say that we wouldn't have survived if we weren't this close to Chicago because we had access to the agencies. We had access to huge sponsorship deals, and it was really quick for us to get back and forth. But the reality is, Deb, when you're recruiting, what if somebody decides, all right, we're going to Pleasant Prairie over Whitewater? Like, does your heart just sink, or are you like, whoa, okay, let's find the right angle with this?
Yeah, there's a little kumbaya there. So I'm friends with the people over at Cava too. I cheer for them all the time. And I got to tell you, back and forth, we share resources. So it's a friendly rivalry. But I think a win for us is a win for the region, to your point.
Yeah, very good. What do you see and expect as you look into the rest of 2025? What do those opportunities look like, Michael?
Well, we do have one exciting announcement that really was finalized and announced this year in Onego Bio. It's a Finnish company that's going to be investing $300 million in a flagship manufacturing operation in Jefferson in the Food and Beverage Innovation Campus. What they do is they have a product called Bioalbumin. It's a patented product that is identical to the same protein you find in egg whites, but you can make it through fermentation. They don't want to substitute egg whites, but they do want to supplement it and provide some supply chain stability when it comes to egg prices. There's a lot of interest in what that could do for commercial bakers and large entities, even like the U.S. military, having a good stable source of egg white protein that can help with baked goods and things like that. That
sounds
is
like a lot of applications and benefits for sure, and it ties into what the region's all about historically. That's got to be a huge win.
It is, and it's in the Food and Beverage Innovation Campus, we call it, and we call it that for a reason. I was talking earlier, some of this, you know, food and beverage manufacturing, but there has to be some type of research, growth, new technologies, and so to put that directly in the center of our Food and Beverage Innovation Campus, I can't wait to see what that means going forward for the region.
I should also mention we do still have about 40 acres that are available within that park. So right along Keekaman Way is the road. Keekaman Way is the road that drives through the middle of that park.
Okay. And finally, we talked a bit about kind of point of difference and collaboration. But when you look to contrast with what other states are doing, what do you dive in on in terms of the benefits for the Madwaukee corridor that makes it different than Ohio or Indiana? Like, why Wisconsin?
So that's really going to be specific to that user. And so if the user is saying, hey, we're looking for utility, low cost for utility, or we're looking for stable utilities. I mean, if you go some places, you know, their power gets turned off every now and then. There's brownouts. That's what the word I was looking for. Right? So it really depends on that company, if they're also looking for workforce. I mean, between UW-Madison, to your point earlier, technical colleges, there's a lot of education that's happening right now in order to bring out a workforce that can support their business. So it really is just listening to them and finding out what their needs are.
Yeah.
Michael? But I think every business is looking for speed, right? And so what we can offer because of collaboration with the state of Wisconsin and our local municipalities is some proactive approach to get these sites ready, or at least some knowledge of where they are, what their capacities are, and what they can support. Because people want certainty, and they don't want to have to wait for approvals and supply chain for, you know, infrastructure issues and stuff like that. They want to be able to build on their timeline. So the state of Wisconsin's been proactive. We've been proactive. And we have a fantastic labor pool. Jefferson County, we talk about like a 45-minute drive time. We're reaching 1.1 million people. A lot of your listeners, you know, you could be in Jefferson County in 45 minutes, not only working there, but enjoying a lot of the great stuff we have to offer for a day trip. So we definitely invite you to come on out and check it out.
How I drive, I can be there in like 30 minutes, but don't tell anyone that. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. We, as you look at community building and economic development, there's always a human component. But there is a place to it all. And Deb and Michael, you are not only evangelists for Jefferson County, you live and breathe it each and every day. So I wanted to ask you both, as experts, what are some of the hidden gems in Jefferson County that maybe I don't know about that I need to check out this summer and beyond?
Sure. So I'll start if you don't mind. So I was just sharing that at night I get to come home. I live on the Rock River. And so okay. I get to come home, get on the pontoon boat. You know, we can take a ride down to Fort Atkinson and I can be back by 7 o'clock. But we've got an amazing hidden gem down there. It's called Maggiami Italiano. Ooh. And they only take one table every 15 minutes. So there's one chef, one server. It's all homemade. Ooh. Delicious. So I would definitely check that out.
That's a great concept. I'm going to steal that and open that up somewhere else. That's a really good restaurant concept.
Absolutely.
And I would invite you to Korth Park. It is in Lake Mills. On the final Thursday of every month, there is what's called Brew with a View in partnership with our Parks Department and Tyranina Brewery. There's food trucks, there's beer, and it sits upon Korth Park, which is 25 years old this year, overlooking the Rock River. It is a gorgeous view. But really, all of our park system is great. We have the number one dog park in the state of Wisconsin, just south of Johnson Creek, north of Jefferson. And we have a great park system, 22 of them. They're all beautiful, and they're connected to some of them by the Glacial Heritage Bike Trail and the Interurban Bike Trail, which gets you even across communities and across southeastern Wisconsin. So some of you might be interested in taking your bike from the Milwaukee area all the way to Jefferson County, stopping at some of our restaurants, breweries, our county parks, and seeing all that that has to offer.
That quality of life, it's so important, not only to families, but for businesses as you're looking to relocate. Talk about the proximity, and we talked about it earlier, but the proximity to Madison and Milwaukee. How do companies see that? Like, you are very close to the economic center of the state of Wisconsin, which is downtown Milwaukee. How do companies see that as maybe a pro or a con as they're looking to come to Jefferson County?
Well, I don't see the cons there, but all of the pros, honestly, you've got the transportation corridors again. So you can get I-94 runs right through. Otherwise, yeah. You can take Highway 26 all the way down to I-90. And we're kind of right in the middle of that. So to Michael's point earlier, when he's talking about the labor pool that we can draw from, it's really vast. Mm-hmm. And the skills are different, right? So in the Madison area, it's more of an educational-based, right? And then in the Milwaukee area, it's more of that manufacturer hands-on type of a workforce.
And Deb can take her boat to work. I sadly have to drive. but I drive past some cornfields on some county roads to get to work, which I love. I grew up in the city of Milwaukee, and it's just astounding to me that I can be outside of my subdivision in some cornfields pretty quick. But I can still get to Milwaukee in 45 minutes. And all the amenities that downtown Milwaukee, Brewers games, Bucks games, all the stuff that Milwaukee has to offer, for Lake Michigan, it is still within reach, even living in Jefferson County. And so that is definitely a benefit for people that are trying to attract talent from out of state, businesses that are looking to relocate here. You know, they have people that want to be assured of a high quality of life. And even if, some of the open space isn't quite what's their number one thing, they can be so close to downtown Madison, downtown Milwaukee, that you really don't miss it.
I can also mention that one of my coworkers lives in Sun Prairie, and she used to work for the city of Madison. The drive time is about the same, even though the proximity, there's no traffic.
Yeah. It's easy to get around, and there is a ton of collaborative spirit galore. I remember a developer telling me years ago, Jeff, you collaborate or you die. And that's the approach we have to take to economic development across the state of Wisconsin. So I commend you for what you're doing in Jefferson County, and I look forward to what's to come. Michael Luckey is the Jefferson County Administrator. Deb Reinbold is the President of Thrive Economic Development. Thank you both for spending time with us, and all the best through 2025 and beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Are you watching the NBA playoffs? You should be. You should be. Yes, our Milwaukee Bucks are not in it anymore, but there's still a lot of great storylines, a lot of good visuals, a lot of good rivals, too. But for me, there's kind of one thing that I can't stop seeing. And that's every time that the Pacers are playing at home, the Indiana Pacers, they play in beautiful downtown Indianapolis. I can't help but seeing all the public basketball courts that are part of their Deer District, if you will, in Indy. I've always thought that community drives through sports, right? Sports fans are just that. They are fanatics about their team. So they are passionate about building community. And downtown Indy has done a really good job to develop itself around sports. It's compact and it's really vibrant. The Gainbridge Fieldhouse is the home for the Pacers, and it features this still somewhat new Morris Bicentennial Plaza. It's right on the north side of the arena. And again, if you're watching the NBA playoffs, you see it often as we go to as the TV goes to break, right? As the producers are spanning that arena, you're seeing these outdoor spaces, this public space, including basketball courts for the summer months. And this space actually transforms into skating rinks in the winter. This Indy Plaza is designed as a community gathering space. It offers the courts, it offers some public art, some green space, and areas for civic events and entertainment. It got me thinking, this is what we need for the next phase of the Deer District here in downtown Milwaukee. You know, beyond Fiserv Forum, beyond all the great restaurants, beyond all the wonderful hotels, it's time for that 2.0 to start exploring similar uses in the Deer District. If we really want to activate that space on non-game days, it's going to take more than hotels, it's going to take more than music venues, it's going to take more than bars and restaurants. It's going to take courts, it's going to take green space, and it's going to take a park-like approach that can really, really drive community in the Deer District. Put it on the list. I want to see outdoor basketball courts help activate Deer District for the next phase of that community development.